The word of God that we're going to hear today is this promise through the book of Ruth that God is faithful. And Ruth says that, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you, for where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God." Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, for you are my rock, my refuge. There's a pastor who did a workshop, and he said, if the Bibles were taken away and all bound up and chained, the Word of God is yet still living and active in this world. And during the workshop, he said to everybody, I want you to know five stories from the Bible of God's activity in this world that you would be able to share with someone else. Because God is at work through the stories of the Bible. That they're not just those stories, they are the illustration of God's love at work in this world. I loved this reminder that these kids will be faithful witnesses of the good news of God, that they will not be chained up. You saw how, as they bounded back to their seats, how they had stories to share. I think the book of Ruth is one of those stories that you could learn that from beginning to end, it tells the story of salvation. The book of Ruth starts with a time of disaster, a time of famine that leads to dislocation of people seeking refuge. And then we're given the names of those who are being scattered in this world in a time of struggle. We learn about Naomi and her husband Elimelech. And they have two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And they go from Bethlehem to Moab. Now, Moab is an interesting place for them to go. Elimelech is an Ephrathite. It's an old family in Bethlehem. I read one commentator describe it like the Vanderbilts. Now, if you had the Vanderbilts in Rhode Island, and there's a time of struggle in Rhode Island, you'd think they would just probably go to one of their big houses in Boston or something like that. Elimelech, though, takes his family to Moab. This is strange, because the Moabites, in the biblical tradition, are known as a shameful, inhospitable, and dangerous people. This is a strange place for Elimelech to take his family. And when they arrive there, it becomes even more difficult for Naomi. Her husband dies. Her two sons find two Moabite women, Orpah and Ruth. But then over 10 years, they die. And Naomi now has no way and nowhere to expect anything good to come from life. But she hears, while out in the fields of Moab, that it possibly the Lord has found favor with his people again. And so Naomi, who's now left without her husband and without her two sons, gets up to go back to where the Lord is bringing favor to his people. And her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth, also get up. But not much after their journey begins, Naomi turns back to them and tells them, "Go back to your mother's house. There is nothing good that I can give to you. There is no promise or hope in me that will make life any better. Go back where you might find something." Elimelech had land back in Bethlehem, but that land is closed off to Naomi and to Ruth and to Orpah, because they do not have a man that can then reclaim that land. And Naomi then explains that there's no more children coming out of my womb, so there's no more way we're going to get that land. And in this moment, you start to find out that Naomi's life that had started with security has slowly, in moments of despair, been stripped of anything that would give her security or comfort or confidence in this world. She has left her land, and now she is left alone. She has nothing in this world that should give her hope. In our own story of salvation, we all can be at these spots where we think we have everything figured out. And then slowly, in the way that this world, sin, and our own flesh does, it starts to fall apart. And Naomi now realizes there is nothing left. Now, Orpah, at this point, kisses her mother-in-law and leaves. But Ruth, it says, clings to Naomi. And at this moment, Naomi explains to Ruth, Orpah's got the right idea. She's going back to her mother, and she's going back to her gods. But Ruth says, I'm not going to leave you. And we find that over these 10 years, I think Naomi has been talking about God. Because what reason would Ruth have to cling to Naomi? Because there's nothing visible in Naomi that should give her confidence that there's anything ahead except more of things falling apart and despair building and everything that would give you security drifting from your hands like sand. But Ruth says, I will go where you go. I will lodge where you lodge. Your God will be my God. And in that moment, we find right there why Ruth could ever cling to Naomi. Because Ruth's clinging, grabbing onto Naomi, is not clinging onto the great grandness that is Naomi. But she's clinging to the hope and confidence that when Naomi goes back to the land where the Lord has found favor with his people, that Ruth could be numbered among that favor. Ruth stays and clings to that hope. As they arrive back to Bethlehem, there's a challenge for Naomi. Everyone moves around in a flurry and sees Naomi and says, is not this Naomi? And Naomi at this moment has to figure out, is she going to pretend that everything's fine and say, yes, it's Naomi, I'm back. She doesn't, though. She says to him, don't call me Naomi. Call me bitter, because that's what I've become, and that's all that is left for me. But then the end of chapter 1 finishes with saying that Naomi and Ruth have arrived back in Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. I want you to think for a moment, what season is Naomi in? She says everything is bitter. She's at this spot where things were planted, and as far as she is concerned, nothing in her life is going to grow. She's still in a time of famine. She's still in a season where the land is empty. But around her, the famine is over and the harvest is starting to arrive, but she's not able yet to see it. And at this moment, I want you to jump ahead with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, when Jesus is traveling with his disciples and he reminds them that the Lord is the Lord of the harvest. The Lord is the one that provides for us. The Lord is the one that blesses us. And while we may look forward to the same season of bitterness being that which was and that which is and that which will always be, Jesus is reminding them that the one that is in this world active in his love and mercy, while he plants seeds that we think have gone nowhere, he is the Lord of the harvest. And while we may think that we're stuck in a season where things have gone empty and fallow, the Lord of the harvest is arriving. And each day when we go from one place to another, we have a moment where we could look to see, we could look to see famine. We could look to see bitterness. We could look to see that's the season we are in, and that's the season we'll always be. That's what Naomi does when she arrives back in Bethlehem. She arrives at the time of harvest, but she says, just call me bitter. I want you to think of a time in your own life, maybe, where everything you've trusted in is starting to just fall away. And you look and you know there's others that have found this season of harvest, but it doesn't look like it will arrive to you. And that the bitterness of emptiness has arrived and is like pig pen just stuck on you. But then you see, that's not what happens to Naomi. The harvest does arrive for her. While the harvest is there and Naomi and Ruth struggle to figure out what's going on, there's in the book of Ruth a wonderful story about a man named Boaz who has the ability to redeem the deed to this property that Elimelech had. That Naomi and Ruth, they don't know how to get access to it. But Boaz does. But there's another that's in line for that land. And they wonder, will that man make a claim for the land? And Boaz says to Ruth, let's just wait through this night and see what the morning comes. What do they expect? Naomi thinks maybe, but probably not. But in the morning as they arise, they find that this one who would be bitter to take the land passes on it. And Boaz then is able to get the deed for the property. And this is now where the story of the harvest continues in a way that Naomi could never have expected. The book of Ruth ends with a genealogy, one of those spots that you might just look past in a book as you're reading and you're trying to do your one-year reading plan, and you're like, great, a genealogy, let me flip the page. But you see, in this genealogy is the illustration that the harvest is arriving. Boaz is the father of Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse. Now, Jesse's the father of many sons. And there's a time now when the prophet Samuel arrives in Bethlehem and says to Jesse, bring your sons before me, and one of them I will anoint to be the king. So Jesse brings the tallest, the strongest, the smartest. And then there's one that's not numbered among this lineup. He's probably bitter that he's out in the fields. I can kind of imagine this because I'm the youngest of three boys, and my brother Andy always let me know that I was actually just found in a garbage dump. I didn't really belong. So I can understand David being forgotten in the field while all the other sons were being paraded forward. But Samuel sees the tallest, the strongest, and the smartest. He says, not one of these will the Lord work through. So Jesse calls his son David, and David becomes anointed to be the king of Judah and the king of Israel. It's from the line of David that we find then in Matthew's genealogy that Jesus will come, that the Lord of the harvest is arriving. Ruth's name is numbered in that genealogy. The one who was a Moabite. The one who came from a place that was dangerous and inhospitable by all tradition. And the Lord yet still came. Can we trust in the Lord of the harvest? I want you to know that you can. No matter what season you are in right now, when you look and you think that everything is empty, and all has become dark, I want you to know that the bitterness of the cross and Good Friday, that seed that looked to all to not be able to grow, was placed into the ground in the tomb, and in the darkness of that despair, yet our Lord was victorious. And on the third day he rose from the dead, and the trumpets of the lilies blast in their joy. Because the resurrection of life, the Lord of the harvest has come. And to all that arrive to Good Friday, I want you to know that Easter comes. To all that arrive in dislocation and famine and refugee to Moab, that the Lord has found favor with his people again. From death to life, from A to Z, from Alpha to Omega, God, I will go where you go. I will lodge where you lodge, because you are my God. Amen.